Lock the gate!
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucking ears, what the fucksters, what the fuckadelics, what's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is WTF, my podcast. Welcome to the show. Got a double header today. Sometimes we do that. I think that most of you understand what happens here at the show, how it works. This one's a little different in a way. Sometimes, I'm sorry, I'm being rude. How are you doing? Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Oh, really? I'm sorry to hear that. Well, yeah, I mean, just stay in the day. Try to stay present. You know, do what you can. Okay. All right, good. Good to see you, too. Nice talking to you. All right, so we caught up. Look, so today on the show, what do we got? Jen Kirkman, the very funny Jen Kirkman, stop by to talk a bit about her new book. And then Chelsea Handler stopped by to talk about her new show. Now, both Jen and Chelsea have been on the WTF before. And sometimes, as you know, if someone's a friend of the show or a friend of mine, somebody I like, and they got something going on, I'll do another interview. We'll hang out, do a shorty. I call them a shorty. Short talk. So that was the plan with both Jen and Chelsea. But Chelsea and I ended up talking longer. And I decided to go ahead and put it up as a whole thing because it was sort of interesting. It was a little tense. I'll explain more about it before I introduce her. Jen, of course, is Jen. And what else is happening? I am okay. I'm very grateful to the people who come to see the shows at the Tripany House on these Tuesdays that I'm doing. I appreciate it. Last night was very exciting. Things are taking shape. Sometimes I'm not always sure about whether or not my creative process actually works and whether or not things are going to come together. But I've been doing about an hour and a half each performance, all of them vastly different, give or take a few bits, and I'm trying to evolve it. Now, I record all of these, and the trick about that is I have to listen to the recordings at some point. So I'm trying to be responsible about that, but I do appreciate you coming out. I will pitch my tour dates a bit right now, so you know that I'm going to be around. The Tripany House continues on June 21st and June 28th. Two more Tuesdays. I don't know if there are tickets. I will be at the Ice House here in Pasadena, down the street in Los Angeles area on July 3rd. That's Sunday, the night before July 4th. I'll be in Spokane, Washington, July 7th, 8th, and 9th at the Spokane Comedy Club. I will be in Salt Lake City, Utah, July 14th, 15th, and 16 at Wise Guys. All right. I'll be at the Comedy Attic. That's in Bloomington, Indiana, July 28th, 29th, and 30th. All right. I will be at Stand Up Live, August 18, 19, and 20 in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm doing one night in Albuquerque, New Mexico, September 3rd, and that's a benefit show in my hometown. Then I'll be in Rochester, New York, September 9th, 10th. Okay, that's what's up for now. More dates coming for the bigger venues. These are mostly club dates. Exciting. Get back into the trenches. Do the real work. Oh, my God. What's happening, man? I told you guys about I got a John C. Reilly interview. That's going to be up in a couple weeks. That was great. Some of you have seen on the Twitter there that Neil Young stopped by. That's going to be up soon. That was intense. That was climbing a mountain, climbing Mount Neil Young. So look forward to that. But I also want to tell you about John C. Reilly. He's a producer of a show that's on Adult Swim called Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule. And that's going to premiere tomorrow night. It's an episode about cars. It's very funny. It's very odd. The Doctor is one of the most compelling, disturbing, and hilarious comedic presence on television, in my opinion. And John C. Reilly is involved with that show. That's how he puts it. So that's how I'm going to put it. So enjoy that. Here's a little update about me. Everything's okay. Relationship's going pretty well. Had a little fight. It's a weird thing about fights, about being in a couple and having an argument, of things getting ugly. I got to report that if it helps anybody else, I've become too old and too self-aware to yell and scream as much as I used to. I am capable of delivering some yelling and screaming, but for shorter intervals and spaced out over many months. But the one thing I forget about arguing in a relationship is that if you don't get too abusive and it isn't too petty, sometimes you can break through to a new level with the person. There's probably other ways to do it, like having a nice conversation about needs or things that are you might want to work on as a couple. You know, that type of stuff. Proactive sit downs that that mature adults do. This is not something that I am too good at. So usually what happens with me is I wait till things build up to a festering heat within my heart and mind. And then over something stupid and mundane, I just lose my shit. And then make the whole day fucked up. Yeah, so what I'm saying is I ruined an afternoon date. And then it was sort of rebuilding. But I think we learned something about each other. And that sometimes that's the way it works. Depending on what kind of person you are. Sometimes if the fight is not too gnarly, it can take you to a new place. Obviously, there's apologies required. And but a new understanding can be met upon and negotiated if you survive the horrible outburst or abusive behavior. I'm emotional abuse. I'm not pushing the envelope here, and I'm not justifying anything. But I think it's just part of being a couple, right? Huh? You don't hear me talk about this stuff. What I'm saying is we survived. We're a bit stronger for it, and we learned some new things about each other, and we were brought closer because of it. That's how that worked. Look, Jen Kirkman is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, and she's here. If you want to hear Jen on old WTF episodes, you can get the Howl Premium account at WTFpod.com and check out episode 28 for a full interview. And episode 101 for a live show that Jen was on. This is almost like a continuation of the Jen story. So this is me and Jen Kirkman. Her new book is I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself. That's available now. So this is me and Jen.
Drove here on the freeway. That wouldn't have happened last time.
Oh, you've grown so much.
I did.
I believe
your
you.
Influence.
Oh, really? I had something to do with it?
You Nothing. Had something to do...
With what?
Actually, you gave me a book once. I don't know if you remember. You did two things, and I don't know if you know you did this for me.
If they're good things, I'd love to hear about them. Yeah, or bad. Either way.
You called me
when
I was getting divorced.
Yeah.
And you said, you got a lawyer? And I go, no, we're not doing that kind of thing. We've already talked. We don't have anything anyway. We're just splitting what we don't have equally.
Right.
And you're like, nah, that's bullshit. Someone's going to tell him to get a lawyer. And then who's leaving who?
Yeah.
I go, well, it's mutual, but more me. And you're like, bullshit, get a lawyer. He's getting one.
Did he?
He got one. And, you know, it's not his fault, but the lawyers, they'll just do stuff without...
Oh yeah, no.
Telling their client they're doing it.
You don't know what they're doing, and you don't understand what they're doing,
yeah.
and they just want to string it out.
I'm so glad I got one. It was stupid in the end. We paid more to the lawyers than we did to each other.
Stupid.
And then you.
That's their whole racket.
then you either texted or called me and you're like, get this book on love addiction.
Hell yeah.
And I go, I've been married. I don't have that.
Uh-huh. Pia Melody book?
Yeah. And I go, no.
Yeah.
And then I got it anyway.
Yeah.
And then I read it like a year later and I was like, oh my God. I have that kind of personality. And it was just laying dormant during the marriage, which one of the things is when you get married, you are trying to be normal and you know, do everything right. And I thought it meant you got hookers, and I didn't know about that kind of problems with relationships can be these
patterns that have been there since you were a kid.
And they shouldn't call it addiction. I think it's affliction. But I'm like, why did Mark appear? Probably not. I mean, I know you were doing 10 other things that moment. It wasn't these deep, intimate. It was just like, yeah, do this. But I was like, we weren't friends. We weren't hanging out. And it was so bizarre. Like, perhaps you were projecting, but it worked out well for me or something.
I don't know. I think I always felt connected to you. I feel like you're one of those people that, you know, I watched go through things, and after our first, you know, interview, you know, I got more of a sense of you. But like, I still remember like first meeting you. I remember like you were a kid almost. It was like at some open mic stand up show in New York because you knew Mish, and you know, like, and I remember like literally remember you like a kid.
Yeah. I was 24.
Yeah.
Which is a kid, but I was thinking about, I feel like a kid now. I feel so, a lot of my defenses and control issues are being stripped away.
Yeah.
And so I don't have all the new tools yet, and the old manipulative ones are gone.
Are they?
So I'm kind of like,
oh yeah, just kind of raw, open.
But not crazy raw, but like, okay.
Are you sure?
I'm just shy more, I think. I feel like a kid now.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like, oh God, I feel embarrassed about things that I deserve and are normal. Like going to do a show, I feel embarrassed promoting it. And when I was 24, I thought that everything I have now, which isn't a lot, but it's fine, is what I deserved that day.
Right, yeah.
And I had this bravado and...
Yeah.
God, I can't believe the...
Change?
The shift. It's like a Freaky Friday, like... I should have some of that bravado now.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know where it was.
It'll
false.
Come back around.
Yeah, like a healthy amount.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, you might actually feel good about yourself.
Oh, I do. And that's what's weird is it's weird to me to feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Not at other people.
Right. No, it's like you feel sort of ashamed of it. Like I do, like sort of like, hey, things are going okay. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. And it's weird that you're not Catholic because that's a Catholic thing.
Is it?
And it's a big Boston thing.
Well, for me, it's more like I know I don't wear, like, it's very easy to misread my personality as arrogant anyways, like because of my intensity and a certain amount of intelligence. So if I actually feel good about myself, like, I don't want people to read it as like, oh, I guess Marin's that guy now.
Oh, right. You have to. Right.
It's stupid.
You can't control to a certain degree your essence, like what people perceive of you.
You
even
can't
if you're
control
just watching. Yeah. So you
but
have
I
to
can't,
be careful.
I can't get cocky. Cocky.
Right.
I don't do cocky well.
Right. Yeah. Because if you.
And I'm afraid of that within myself, that if I feel too good about myself, I'll be like, yeah, fuck that guy. You know, like I will get cocky.
Right.
Like,
and then it goes slippery slope.
Right. Right. So
you
it's
stop
like
trying.
You want to stay humble if you can and, you know, appreciate things and the gratitude and all that other stuff.
I think it's pretty easy in a way if you're healthy enough to stay humble in L.A. Because all you have to do is
go outside,
go to
take
other
a
people's
drive. You're right.
Sets, homes, and you're
right,
like,
right.
Oh, okay.
I don't have this.
Right. If that's what we mean by humble, I think it's kind of easy.
I know. I think by humble, like, you know, what is that word? You know, I don't mean to be humbled by, you know, other people's success or your own insecurity, but just sort of to remember, you know, that everyone's, I think it has something to do with being empathetic. That like, you know, if the playing field is level in the sense of like, we're all people.
Right.
And if you can see that and see it in yourself and others, then, you know, you can kind of stay in a good place.
Yeah. I think it's also too, that it's looking at the bigger picture that anything someone might have was either, I don't mean God literally, but was either going to happen or wasn't going to happen.
Oh,
I don't mean a plan.
You need to do that?
No, I don't mean a plan. I just mean like, in other words,
Wait, it's not yours.
It's not yours.
Yeah.
It's
got nothing to do with you.
It's got nothing to do with you. You were born and you will die.
Yeah.
And that is not under your control.
Right.
So at the same time, perhaps, maybe the good things that have happened, the bad things, those weren't under your control either.
Sure.
Even if you worked hard and accomplished something, there was something that made you or me or someone else achieve the thing and others who are still trying have not. So
you can't be too hard on yourself about it.
No, because it's also random anyway.
And it has nothing to do with you, other people's shit. But also you have to figure out a way to frame stuff as like, you know, things that happened were supposed to happen. You know, in retrospect, there's no other way to look at it because you don't want to have a bunch of regrets. So, you know, you know, whatever it was that got me here and I'm okay.
Sometimes I do think, well, I do remember this one way I could have played my life that year.
Yeah.
And what would have happened?
Uh-huh.
And I can't say that I don't come up with a better story sometimes than what actually happened. Well,
what
would I have learned?
You seem okay. You seem a little fragile.
I'm fragile. I'm a little fragile, but not like I'm just, well, I think I'm nervous.
About what, life?
No, I was nervous to be here, do a good job.
Do a good job? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What's going on, man? Sometimes I get concerned when I look at your Twitter feed and I don't engage.
Oh my God, I was saying to a friend, I hope he doesn't bring up Twitter. It's so stupid.
It's stupid, but you and I are a lot alike. If you get us at the wrong moment and we engage.
Well, that's true.
It's going to be, you know, it's very easy to fight it to a certain degree, but then when you lock in with trolls or you lock in with your own mania or aggravation at the moment, you know, you can't take it back.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, and you can call me on the...
Is this a policy point with you?
Percentage of bullshit that I'm saying. But there are days I get on as a human, and I'm like, I can't with the kids who want free tickets. You know, like, I get...
Oh, yeah. Well, you've developed, but you've developed a certain thing. Like, you know, we all, whatever we put out there, you know, everyone has access to us now one way or the other. They can get to you.
Yeah.
And they can get to you in a very personal way if you engage with that. If your confidence level, whoever you are, needs that.
Yeah.
You know, to engage like that, they're going to get to you, you know, one way or the other. But I think the point I'm trying to make is that, it's hard not to look at it as something, you know, very important and immediate. And, you know, ultimately, it's like, you know, you're really dealing with one person.
Well, my problem with the important and immediate is not so much in those situations where it's because I wish I could prove to everyone how much I ignore. I tend to ignore the you're not funnies because I realize
you wish you could prove to people how much you... Let's set that straight right here. So most of the time, outside of when you're engaging with somebody
and
losing your fucking mind,
you're
not even paying attention to
Twitter. Well, I do want to set it straight because I do look at male comics on Twitter and what they fight about. And it's usually about themselves and being funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like I'm doing a feminist thing, which is I mostly get or react to, and I'm not emotionally reacting.
Yeah.
I will retweet something very sexist someone says that they don't know it's that unconscious sexism, the way we still talk to women.
Right.
And I will put a comment above it, block them so I don't have to see any more from them, and move on. And I do it to show the good guys who want to know what's going on that this happens. And they're not, I don't like to call them trolls because these are the real men we've always dealt with. And when people say they wouldn't say it to your face, I'm like, well, they've said it to all our faces all our lives. And then the internet comes and it's a new world.
Yeah, but these are nameless, you know, cowards.
But I don't think so. I get a lot of stuff from a dad holding his daughter in his avatar
picture.
Yeah,
but you don't know anything
his
wife.
No, but he'll write me not even knowing if I'm... anything about me, right? You should have a man. You wouldn't have to go on the road like that stuff.
But that's old timey shit.
But then there's new shit. The younger guys who just don't know why they don't like Hillary. Then they don't want to read an article about subconscious sexism.
Sure,
you know, whatever.
Sure, right.
So
right.
I think it's just all the women on Twitter.
I'm not saying it's not sexist, but I'm saying that some of it's less malignant in aggression.
I don't feel it's aggression, and that's my whole point. Is I want to have a conversation about sexism in the world where I think men think it's aggression and then we go home and cry. Mm. It's more like white noise. They're always like this. Yeah. We walk through the world like, yeah, we're sending a text. Oh, there's sexism over there. Yeah. Going to the bank, some sexism. Yeah. It's constant. And we're not like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want to show them like, this is just part of our life.
Yeah, just be aware of it.
Yeah, just be aware of it. But there's no way on Twitter to assess tone.
Yeah.
And so if I have a bad day and I say to someone, oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Which I try not to do often. I try to delete it right away.
Yeah.
But
deleting doesn't get rid of it.
No, it doesn't. But if I do that, no one knows that that's not the same way I feel if someone says something culturally sexist or something and I retweet it and write something. I'm trying to sound professorial.
Right.
And I feel like if a dude did it about race, it would be picked up by everything like blah, blah goes on a genius rant.
Well, it's not the right platform to really express nuance or
it is
point
that,
of view.
Thank you. Nuance is lost.
Yeah, of course. And then, you know, it's just like people read the tone however they want to read.
Yeah.
Like I read it wrong. Sometimes I think you're just like sitting at home going.
No, sometimes I'm just in line at Whole Foods and I'm usually never home just on the computer. I'm always doing something.
So what's this like? All right. So Twitter aside.
Yeah.
You've got another book. It's out now.
Mm-hmm. It's called
the second book.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called the what?
I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself.
How'd the other book do?
It's funny. The other book got on the bestseller list, but this one is selling a little better, but didn't get on the list. If that makes sense.
Well, it's that first week thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, when it got on, it was first week.
Right.
Which
you
people
make it under the. You gotta punt that first week. So it will allow you to say it's a bestseller.
Yeah, and what people don't know, and I'm very honest about.
Yeah.
I let people in. Is. The pre-sale sales count towards first week. So
of
if your book's on sale for 8 months,
yeah,
all that sales counts as first week. Doesn't even mean everyone bought it that first week. But the second one's out, and it was supposed to be like a post-divorce book.
Yeah.
And I'm turning 40, and here's my life.
Uh-huh.
And my editor wanted it to be like this advice, like, go, ladies. But I'm not that person.
Yeah.
My circumstances change a lot, and I change a lot. So I never want to be... even for the small amount of people that know me, the spokesperson for anything.
Because you're constantly questioning yourself.
Well, I'm not like, hey, single ladies, have some Chardonnay. I don't like that stuff.
Do you think they should?
If people want a Chardonnay, go for it. I mean, I enjoy a Pinot Grigio. But that whole thing of like, I'm single when I'm single because either I'm choosing to be or there's no one around.
So what are the essays about?
But it's not a lifestyle.
Right, now I get it.
Divorce, an affair I sort of had when I was divorcing, a cell phone that was stolen by someone that was going to reveal this affair.
Oh, really? Someone you knew?
No, a guy just stole my phone at Foxwoods Casino. And it was the one time I got recognized from being on Chelsea Lately. He found my phone and saw some text to another guy. He knew I was married and he tried to blackmail me for $5,000.
Really?
And I got an undercover cop to walk with me outside of Radio City Music Hall to give the guy the phone with the money, and to give the guy the money for the phone, and they were going to get him. And then he never showed up.
So you never got your phone back?
No, but nothing ever happened.
How come you didn't have a fucking lock on your phone? Who doesn't lock their phone?
It was like a BlackBerry.
Oh, right,
it was like so long. I don't even know.
Oh, it was that long ago.
And then and there's essays about traveling the world as a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not as a lady, but just traveling. I happen to be a lady. Mm-hmm. But there's some stories like that. And then about a relationship I got in and got out of. It was, I mean, I did get divorced, 5 years ago?
It seems longer. Really? It's only five?
You know what's funny? Can I, just for the hardcores out there?
Sure.
When I first came in here and we talked about I was afraid to fly to Australia.
Yeah. And that was that before you were divorced?
I was just married 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to Australia and fell in love with it so much and fell in love with the fact that, oh my God, I wasn't scared at all.
Right.
And I felt like me and I went, oh, there's a part of me I've never explored and she's really independent and oh my God, she got married for security. Oh my God, I don't want to be married. That was just 9 weeks after I was married.
Oh.
And I, it was hard. And what I hate about talking about this stuff or writing about it is he probably felt the same way. I mean, it's not like he was begging me to spend time with him and begging me to sleep with him. He was just as not interested in me. I think he just again, isn't as...
Well, we sort of got to tell ourselves that. It's painful for everybody involved. It's not a process that anybody wants to go through.
I think he was more mad when we split up that he had wasted the time. Mm. He was very concerned with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of complex emotions.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I want you. Let's work it out.
So right away you knew, right, that you might have done something out of fear.
I did something out of fear. And I think that he wouldn't be the type of man, and not anything wrong with it, but he just more of a stay in one place. I do my work. Someday I want to retire. Mm-hmm. You know, more 50 than me, 90 is when mm-hmm. I want to retire. And I wanted to travel the world, I realized.
How's the comedy, Jen? Everything good?
I saw a little spike in things after my Netflix special came out last year.
Yeah.
And then this past tour I did. Maybe being oversensitive. Maybe I hit cities too often.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, I can sell out 350 seaters. Here I go. No yeah. problem. And then this time it was like, we jumped to the next level maybe too quick.
Oh.
And it wasn't even like, now I can't sell 500. It was like, there's not even 300 people in the 500.
In the 500.
So, but I feel like I'm pursuing a very male career. Like, I want a Bill Burr, Louis comedy career. Uh-huh. I'm not saying I'm as funny as them. And I'm only in year 19. I need 19 more.
It's a long time.
It's yeah. a long time, but I feel like.
Why don't you want a Jen comedy career?
I mean, in the sense that I want to be a road.
You want to be able to sell
tickets.
I don't
want to be a television star.
Right.
I actually just want to be a comic.
Yeah.
And when I do TV, it's to support that.
Right.
And I have to pitch TV shows so that my agents don't drop me.
Right.
And I know I have to be on one to get people to come, as you probably
kind of realize. Do you still?
Well, doesn't having Marin help?
I think so. I mean, like, there's a lot of me out there in a lot of different ways, you know, between yeah. the podcast and stand-up spots and Marin. Yeah, there's definitely people that don't know or don't listen to the podcast that know me from Marin now because of Netflix more than IFC. But like, yeah. you know, it's an amalgamation of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you do get on people's radar. It's very hard if you're not huge for whatever reason that happens, which is sometimes unexplainable.
Yeah.
Why certain people lodge in the public imagination in such a big way, as opposed to people that are sort of off to the side that people discover, you know, no matter how much of you is out there, no yeah. matter that I've been out there 25 years, every day there's someone going like, how did I not know about you?
And I'm
like,
I don't fucking know. I get that a lot. And I get excited, but I'm like, okay, instead of one person tweeting me that, I need like 1,000 more of you.
Well, you know, it's weird like that. You know, you have to come to terms with certain things that, you know, your life is going to be your life in terms of, you know, who's, coming out to see you. But you don't have, it's not unlike the program. You don't have a lot of control over that necessarily.
No.
And if you push too hard or, you get aggravated about it.
Yeah.
That reads too.
I think the only area of my life that should be aggravating and isn't is comedy. I don't mind the travel.
Yeah, but you're up there. Yeah, me neither. It's like great to be in a hotel. You don't have to deal with any of your bullshit no. home problems.
And I like my audiences
yeah.
and I like clubs too, and I don't know who the
sure.
audience is. I just feel like I feel very confident in myself as a stand up. I actually go, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
I did this hard thing that
yeah,
not a lot
a professional
of people can
stand-up.
Do. And ladies, you know, it's I want to be very I don't want to be the person that just plays to their crowd.
Yeah.
I want to be seen as
yeah.
a killer. I mean, it's this very masculine instinct in me, I think, or feminine, maybe it is. But I feel very proud when I'm just seen as a comic.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I want to keep going. I like where my material's going.
Good.
I just feel like I just love nothing more.
Yeah.
But not I don't relate to I don't know why I love it.
Yeah.
I will never relate to people saying when they get a laugh, it's like heroin and you're chasing it.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
No, I just say, yeah, I think maybe we have a common thing where there's a freedom of mind and a total possession of self. And, you know, there's a complete control that,
yeah.
you know, that it's all you. And it's, you know, it's all up to me and I can say whatever I want to say. You know,
yeah.
I own this space for as long as I hold it.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And I also think it's like, not validation like love.
Yeah.
But
connecting.
Connecting like, yes, other people have thought
right.
this. That's why they're laughing. Not
right.
because I'm funny.
Yeah. You and I are cursed with the same thing, which is like somehow or another, we've sought the comfort of rooms full of strangers to try to define who we are.
That's right. I'm comforted by them. Yeah. It is in no way an ego validation.
Well, it is a little, but I mean, but there is this sort of like thing, like I never, when I started, it was not, I didn't see myself as a song and dance man or an entertainer. I needed to to figure out, you know, what I thought and what my point of view was and, you know, somehow discover myself in that way. Like it takes a very weird person to like, I need to go through self-discovery, being witnessed in very embarrassing situations by complete strangers.
Yes.
And then find out who I am. It's a self-discovery thing for me.
Yeah,
and now like I'm comfortable. So like I'm actually funnier than I have been previous.
I think that's the thing too. And it doesn't matter how good your jokes are. If you're young, you just look like a baby deer up there.
Kinda. You don't think that, though.
You don't. And that's what makes it even more awkward.
I'm ready.
Yeah. And that's why now I'm like, oh, I did London a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then I just did it this year and it went so much better. And I went, yeah. God, the crowds are different.
Yeah.
Like, idiot, it was you. It was your first big show there.
Sure.
And you were probably, right. I don't want to think
yeah.
about it.
It's nerve-wracking.
Oh, God. It's so embarrassing.
So both books are out.
Both books are out.
And you're not afraid to fly and you're healthy and you just got through like a relationship that was a big learning thing.
Mm-hmm.
And your stand-up is good. You're a little concerned about the draw this year, but it'll come back around.
I think I'm doing another special. I'm hoping that'll bring people out next year.
Okay.
So I guess everything's good and probably the only thing left to do is drop dead on stage.
No. No, the only thing left to do
is keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Maybe have a healthy relationship if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start thinking
that's
about
on the books.
Yeah, start thinking about
books.
Like you seem to like to write books.
Oh, I already know my third book.
Okay, there you go. What is it?
I can't say because I haven't even pitched it yet. But all it's right. Let's just say it's on the theme of what we've discussed.
Oh, good. So you're moving more towards the self-help section.
Well, it's not going to help anybody.
That's not a way to sell it.
It's gonna,
don't put that on the cover.
It's going to help me.
Well, good. Well, I love you, Jen. It's nice to see you.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Jen Kirkman and me talking about her new book, I Know What I'm Doing and Otherwise I Tell Myself. You can get it. So we're going to talk to Chelsea Handler in a minute. I need to explain some stuff. Explain it. I need to explain some stuff. So me and Chelsea Handler, I like Chelsea Handler, and I did an interview with her years ago at her home. And she's difficult and tough and a little intense, maybe even scary to some. But I've always liked her since that first interview. Maybe I didn't like her a little before that, but I liked her then. I had new respect for her. I think she did a great job with her old show. But I had her in here, and I was surprised that she came over to talk about her new show on Netflix. And it was just supposed to be a short thing. And then it just got weird, man. It just got fucking weird. You know, she has a certain way about her, and she was kind of, you know, bullying me a little bit. That's kind of her style. And then I got compelled by it. It just, the tension was so, so like rich that I just wanted to stay in it and see if I could break through. I wanted to break through to the soft center of Chelsea Handler. So I hung in there and I wanted you to have the full experience that I had. For whatever reason, I did not stop taking it. And I tried to push through, and for some reason, I wanted to share that whole experience with you. All right? Her new Netflix show, Chelsea, is streaming now. There are new episodes every week. You can also hear the earlier WTF with her on the Hal Premium. That's episode 275. But this is me and Chelsea Handler featuring my humility taking a bit of a beating.
Hey,
Look at you. How are you? I haven't seen you in so long.
Oh, look at your nice radio voice. I like that.
Do you feel it?
It's like very girly.
Is it different?
Hi.
Yeah.
You know, like when I hate when I hear my voice do that. When
yeah?
I go, hi.
I don't think I did that.
You did.
I did not.
Okay.
I can talk manly. My radio voice is
I think
very,
you're manly.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except when you walked through my house and went, oh, yeah, cats, huh? That was like pretty emasculating. Just the tone of it made my dick funny. Just went away. I felt my dick go into my body.
What did you do with the cats when Obama came here?
That was that was almost a deal breaker. When they had to go bring the bomb dog into the house, I cut a deal with the Secret Service that they would do the back room by hand. So I just moved the cats into the bedroom, locked them in there. They did the dog, took them out, and then they went in there and checked it out.
Really?
Yeah. They accommodated me.
So they knew you had cats, though.
Right. Well, what was your concern? That Obama was allergic or that they might be threatening to the president?
Well, or that he might think you're a pussy.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think he talked to me for a little while. I wouldn't say I'm a pussy. I'm on the pussy cusp. But I think when it comes right down to it, I'm not a pussy, Chelsea.
I'm not a pussy, Chelsea. That really adds the extra touch.
That's the name of my book. It's me, Chelsea. I'm not a pussy.
You should write a book.
I've written two.
Oh.
It's all right. You don't need to keep up with other people's success or failures or know what they're doing with their life. It's really all...
I just know how successful this is, your podcast. I remember when you started your podcast.
I know. I came to your house.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was a couple years in, but like I wanted to talk to you, so I drove up and I was curious to see how, you know, you lived.
Yeah, I remember. We sat outside right by my...
Yeah, it was nice. And I remember you had a toilet that did a lot of stuff. Mm. Yeah, I see those occasionally. I'm still kind of baffled by them. That they're, you know, it's got all kinds of temperatures and things.
Yeah, Japanese toilets.
Yeah. Do you like those?
I don't use them, but my guests seem to really like them. Like, I don't want water shooting up my asshole. Like, I've never been interested in anything flying at my vagina or my asshole. So I've never operated it, but it does flush for you. Like, I get up, you don't flush, it flushes
itself. That's so time consuming, the flushing
part. Well, I mean,
part,
it's not time consuming, but it's a nice perk, you know?
Yeah,
you don't have to think about it. You just get up and walk away.
Right. That, like
everything in life.
I know.
Get up and walk away.
At the end of the day, I'm like, I'm exhausted from flushing. Yeah, I need, yeah. No, the shooting up the ass thing is kind of weird because you still have to dry it. It's not helping you at all.
So it's like you're cleaning yourself, your vagina, or peeing, and then you have to wipe anyway. So it's like, I don't even like to flush. So can you imagine me wasting my time?
No, waiting for it to...
Drying my vagina after...
I know. It's disturbing for me to think about you just angrily drying your vagina. Well, that's good that we know that about you. I didn't think we'd get that right up front.
You have
an aversion to things being squirted into your asshole or vagina.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it's clear.
It's pretty clear,
when people are quoting this.
Yes.
So what's going on? What are you running around pitching the show? Not pitching it, selling it?
Selling it?
No, I mean, you know, promoting it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got to...
I'm just asking. Don't get defensive.
No, I didn't know if you thought I was pitching you a show.
Yes, like are you? I'm here.
A show about my toilets. Yeah, I'm like, no.
Oh, I thought that was the whole idea.
No.
It sounds great. Celebrity Toilets. That's my new show. We're even promoting your show. Have you done the big shows? Have you done the Fallon thing?
Yeah, I did that the first week.
How'd that go?
Good.
He's fun, right? Did you do a dumb game?
I like Jimmy. No, I don't do those games. Maybe we did. Who knows? You know, you do so many of those shows, you don't remember what you did. I think James Corden, we did it. Oh, no, we did live Tinder or something. Who knows?
Yeah. I did that
I
yesterday.
Like Jimmy Fallon.
I do, too. He's very excited. He's like a puppy.
But he's a good person.
He is a nice guy.
You know?
Yeah. Comes in, talks to you before the show.
Right.
He's excited.
Yeah.
Just like you were on Chelsea lately, right? I just remember like being at Chelsea Lake and like you coming in just with, do you need any warm bread or anything? It was very pleasant.
Always. I was always making baking things for my guests.
Yeah, is that a weird memory or like is that a wrong memory? Am I making that up?
No, probably not. I mean, I don't know what's in your head or what's in my head.
So this show.
It's on Netflix.
Okay, is that it? Are we done?
It's called Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it's there. It's happening. It's streaming. So once it's up, it's there forever.
Well, I guess my big question is, because I did see some like promos for it where you're in different countries. You're around the world. You're like, I didn't know whether for a while there, I didn't know if you were on vacation or working.
Well, I was doing a little bit of both.
Yeah?
I had like a year off. I did these four documentaries for Netflix, and then I did, then I started traveling for the show because I wanted the show to be a kind of between a talk show and the documentaries.
Where'd you go?
I went to Japan. I went to...
For this is on the year off part.
Yeah, this is for the show, stuff. Mexico City, went to Japan, went to Russia. That's all for the show. Just the places that I wouldn't go because I wanted to see what was going on there and if they're worth seeing. Like, I've never wanted to go to Russia, so I thought it might be interesting to go someplace.
St. Petersburg?
No, we went to Moscow.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was it like?
Gray. Lots of big, fat men smoking cigarettes.
Drinking.
All the pretty women are
You must
have
enjoyed the drinking.
Not really.
No?
I mean, it wasn't... I was expecting to really be blown away by Russia because of the history, but you really have to go to St. Petersburg.
Right, that's the pretty part, right? Yeah, that's what it looks like, Disneyland.
Yeah, it does. They have all those obelisks, you know, those buildings there. But Moscow's pretty cool. But, I mean, it wasn't cool. It was the wrong time of year, and I wouldn't say I'm rushing to go back there. You know, Russians are pretty rough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
not warm and friendly?
No.
No. What'd you do there, though? Is there good food, at least, or anything?
No. Like, it was really, really rough because the food was really bad.
Yeah.
They served everything smoked fish. What is that, your heart monitor? What?
No, it's another recording thing that's been fucking up. This is my backup, you know?
It looks like something from, you know, like 1984.
Does it?
Yeah, that doesn't look modern or up to speed. So maybe that's why it's broken.
There it goes. No, I think it just had it.
Is it a transistor?
No, it's a flash recorder, Chelsea. I mean, I know you're not familiar with the way the rest of us live. Like, you were surprised by a bag of snacks from Trader Joe's. You're like, "Where is this craft services?"
No, I didn't. I just was interested in your shopping choices. What do you mean the rest of you live? What am I, the queen of fucking... What am I?
I think you are the queen of something.
No, I'm not. Okay. I live like a... Well, I don't live like a normal person. That's preposterous.
Exactly. That was my point.
But that's not why I was looking at your snacks. I was looking to see what kind of food you eat.
Well, when we go back in the house, I'll show you the whole fridge. I just went shopping. It's exciting. I bought a roast chicken and I pulled it apart.
Ooh.
You don't like chicken?
No, I do.
All right.
I did.
So Russia... I have roots there. I want to go there.
Oh, yeah? Well, we all have roots in Russia, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The Jews.
So anyway, we went to all these places. Okay. We filmed just a bunch of different things in different cities and just highlighting kind of cultural differences. And I went to geisha training in Tokyo. I went to...
Really? How'd that go? Did you fight it?
It was fun. It was stupid and fun and silly. Like, I want to do a show that's, you know, informative while also being an idiot. So it's kind of like... That's what we were traveling for.
American abroad kind of thing?
Like abroad, abroad.
Mm-hmm. Abroad, abroad.
A little bit. But also, you know, I'm in a different point in my life. I wanted to do a different kind of show. And Netflix is so great. They let you do whatever you want. So I was like, let's go to all these places. Yeah. And then we'll drop the pieces in the show throughout the show. So that's what we're doing.
So now, how does it work in terms of, is it weekly or you can do it daily?
No, we do three shows a week.
Okay.
So they stream Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay. So now you've got content in the can and you're going to do content week to week as well?
Yeah. We do it. We go to work on Monday, and then we put a show on, and then we drop in field pieces from stuff. We shot for basically like 4 months, and then we shot, you know, tons of other pieces in town, or, you know, we went to Florida and interviewed voters and did a bunch of election stuff so that we can cover broader topics and not have it be so celebrity-centric, which was what bored the shit out of me about my old show. So we've been up and running for like
three... I don't know how the fuck you did that for so long.
I know. But now it's challenging because you're starting a new show. It's a whole different kind of thing, and you've got to figure out the kinks and make things work, and you're like, okay, this doesn't work, this works.
Yeah.
So you're working 12-hour days, but it's the most fulfilling 12-hour days I've had in years.
Right.
I feel like, okay, fuck, I don't know what I'm doing here. Now what are we doing? Okay, I got this. You know, starting a show is so exciting in so many ways. You know, some people hate it, some people love it, and you're like, okay, what do I do? Are we on the right track? And you get your footing a little bit, and then you take two steps back, and you're like, fuck, this sucks. And then you're like, wait, no, I got it.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing, it can blow you... It just blows you around
like
a little cotton ball in a field, and it's fucking exciting.
Yeah, and you're learning things.
Yeah,
you're way out of your
comfort
zone, it seems.
Yeah. I am out of my comfort zone. Totally.
Yeah, and so you have these segments that you taped out in the world.
Yeah.
What's the guest roster? Do you have guests in studio?
Yeah, we had, I have like Friday, tonight's show. Tonight's show. So they stream at 12:01 Pacific time. So tonight is... This guy, Jacob Soboroff from MSNBC, he explains to me what superdelegates are.
Oh.
And like on a board.
Yeah. And did you get it? Can you explain it to me?
I finally got it. I do. I mean, I got it. Yeah. I know more than I did yesterday.
Well, that's good.
and then, you know, we have Megan Fox, and then I think we started out with the whole Hillary Benghazi scandal and explained that.
Right.
With some writers on the show, like what happened, right. what it means, because people, I feel like with this, what I want to accomplish with this show is constantly explaining what people are always pretending they know about. You know, you hear about news stories, you hear about like Hillary and emails, and but you don't really understand
right.
unless you're reading the paper every single day.
Keeping up with it.
So yeah. I kind of like want to learn and dumb it down and be like, okay, seriously, what the fuck is a superdelegate?
Right,
so, who are they?
Right. So you're being taught.
Yeah.
You're kind of representing the rest of us as sort of like, oh, good, Chelsea's going to figure this out for us.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
I hope so.
And do you feel like a better person because of it?
I feel more responsible.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I felt really irresponsible on my old show.
Like, just like sitting there servicing that machine?
Yeah, I just felt kind of icky at the end. I just was like, this isn't right. Like, not that I'm immorally, like, I mean, I do have morals. I have very strong morals, but not that I feel some big responsibility to, like, the nation or, you know, international
right.
community. But I felt a responsibility to myself, like, okay, if you're going to make this kind of money and have this kind of life,
yeah,
be a little bit more responsible with what you're, you know, putting out there.
Right. I imagine at the E! Show, it got to a point where you're like, again? Like, you know, like it just becomes a cycle of you can't get out of that same fucking wheelhouse.
And there are, you know, there are times where you like something's funny for a while and then it becomes unfunny. And then it becomes, if you wait just enough time, it becomes funny again.
Yeah.
And then once you're done with that phase of funniness, you're done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and then it's over. So that's where I was.
Right. Because it kept coming back to that first part. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, well, like, I'm glad you, well, you got out pretty smoothly, it seemed.
I know.
No problem.
No problem whatsoever. I have such a big mouth. I'm just constantly going, oh God, I wish, you know, I understand why people are so annoyed with me.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, you talk and you say things. Like, I have no filters. So
yeah.
You don't realize that soundbite is going to be replayed and rewritten and then misconstrued and then construed in the right way, accurately.
Right.
And then
long after everyone's already responded to
it. So I've given up on it. I'm like filtering myself. I'm like, who gives a shit anymore? You know what? Everybody knows anyone who knows me knows that's just the way it's going to be.
Now, when you first started doing this show, were you like panicked? Were you nervous? Were you, you know, was
well,
it?
Well, I always get really like, I mean, my whole career has kind of been based on starting out rough. Everything starts rough. My E! Show, everyone panned me. Everyone's like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
And it was a good omen. My books, everyone was like, there were terrible reviews, but then they were number one on the New York Times bestseller list. It's always kind of been my thing. I've never been a critic's darling. So I kind of told Netflix, because the documentaries I did this four-part documentary series called Chelsea Does for Netflix, and they got a lot of really good reviews.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
I said
people
to them,
like
I go, listen, when this talk show starts, it's going to be a big experiment. I'll find my footing, but it's not going to happen right away. It's not going to be the show that I want it to be right away. And I don't want you to get the wrong idea about those great reviews from Chelsea Does, because it's going to be a shit show. Like, people hate me, you know? Like, I'm very divisive. And they're like, oh, don't worry. We believe in you. We have faith. I'm like, no. You really need to not get like accustomed
to me. I'm telling you, it's going to suck.
To me being, I'll never ultimately suck, but I got to get my shit together. I've got to get my groove on. It's like anybody. You got to.
No, there's no way. And it's grown up to know that that's unavoidable. Like when you start a new thing, like you just know that I don't know how to do this like this.
Yeah.
So like you're going to have to wait.
Yeah. Wait for me to get my shit together.
Right. You have to. Like it's like when I was shooting the TV show, I didn't know how to fucking act, but I knew I would get it. I knew I was good enough. But you already had the chops for talk show.
Yeah, right.
And you
exactly.
were curious.
Yeah, and Netflix is so supportive and so great. They're like, that. You know, they're so funny because they're like, no. You know, it couldn't be a better place to work because you feel, that you don't have the panic like you would on a network. Like, oh, what if I don't get, what
right,
if, you
right.
know, what
the,
if
the ratings issue is
doesn't
there.
Matter.
They don't even tell you how many people are
right? They don't even. But it's in 190 countries.
Right.
So it's a huge platform. You know, you're being fed.
Your show's going out to all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
They translate it after I tape. Like, when they input the show, then they translate it to 20 different languages.
Because I don't think they do that with all their content. I think regional Netflix have different content. But yours is going out to everyone.
Yeah. It's the first global talk show ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you watched it in German?
No. I'm not that bored.
Did you go to Germany?
I was in Germany last weekend, actually.
Last weekend?
Yeah. I was in Spain.
Where'd you go in Spain?
Mallorca.
How was that? Nice?
Great.
Was that for the show?
No, I bought a house in Mallorca.
Really?
Yeah.
Like on the water?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah. I did 2 summers ago, like 2 months after I quit E. I went on this trip for my girlfriend's birthday.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this fucking place is awesome. If I find a house, I'm going to buy it no matter what. And it was like this abandoned seaside villa. And I just bought it, and now it's done, and it's beautiful. My whole family's going without me because I can't even go now.
You got it all fixed up?
Yeah, it's all ready to go.
Oh, and you haven't been there since it's been all fixed up?
Well, I just went. That's why I went, just to make sure everything was cool. I was like, is this really happening? I mean, you know, people will tell you, no one's ever had a good story about a contractor or construction. I mean, I've redone my house here. It took like 3 years, and they finished early and gave me money back.
What?
The Spanish. I was like, what? They're like, you have an extra 15,000 euros to credit. I'm like, keep it. Do you know how fucking grateful I am?
Wow.
They're the best.
And you had to go there to make sure that they did everything right? Like, God, this can't be real.
I just wanted to look at the house and see that it was like put in one piece, you know?
Beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have a boat?
Cool. No, not yet.
You're going to get a boat?
I think I'll get a boat.
Yeah, be nice, right?
Yeah.
But just Mallorca.
Such an asshole.
What?
I think I'll get a boat.
It's all right. Louis into boats now. But
Louis C.K.?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he? That's funny. I wouldn't picture him on a boat.
I know, right? But he's got a couple boats. He's got a shitty boat and a nice boat. And he goes out and
I can picture him like fishing.
People tell me about that stuff. Like, my first thought is like, I got a boat. I'm like, what do you do with it when it's not being used? Just sits there?
Yeah, it does, basically.
Yeah, that makes me nervous. So do you go other places in Spain? Do you ever been to Barcelona?
Yeah.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how to speak Spanish?
Yeah.
You speak Spanish?
Uh-huh. Well, really? I mean, no, not fluently, but I can speak, like, I've studied Spanish for the last 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, with, like, a tutor and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
So I just say, estoy aprendiendo español, necesito cada día, necesito estudiar cada día.
Uh-huh. What just happened? Was I insulted?
I said, I'm learning Spanish, I need to study every day.
Well, that's nice, and you did that just to communicate with people in your life now.
No, not really.
Just because you wanted to learn Spanish?
No, I just wanted, I mean, in Spain, I want to learn to know how to speak when I'm in Spain. I can get by in a bar or a restaurant.
So you're planning on spending a lot of time. That's the exit strategy, huh?
That's probably my exit strategy, yeah.
So what was Mexico City like? I'm scared to go there.
No, you shouldn't be.
It's great.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. Culturally rich. They're about to build a huge airport down there, so that's going to change everything. And with the whole Donald Trump thing and everything, it just makes me so irate that I want to like go and show. I wanted to just kind of highlight the great, beautiful things about Mexico. And it gets such a bad rap. People, you know, I mean, obviously the cartels are very dangerous, but Mexico City, it's not in Mexico City. There's not a lot of crime in Mexico City. You know, I wouldn't say walk around in the middle of the night by yourself, but we were there for 7 days, you know, and it was beautiful. And they're beautiful people. And I wanted to go apologize for our country, kind of.
Yeah. Did you go to the Oaxaca? It's great.
I've been to Oaxaca, though.
It's pretty, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of beautiful places in Mexico.
Yeah, I went there once and I really liked it, but I do get scared about the cartel situation.
Why don't you bring your cat with you when you go next time?
That's very funny. Yeah, maybe I will bring my cat with me to protect me, Chelsea.
Yeah, two pussies walking around in Mexico.
Oh, boy, I'm being nice to you. I'll take it. You go ahead and enjoy your little sheltered life on your Via.
There's nothing sheltered about my life.
Okay.
I go everywhere.
Uh-huh.
I just decided I like luxury.
Mm-hmm. Sure. However you have to spin it for yourself.
I don't have to spin anything.
Okay.
I've been around the block, and I decided I like the block I live on.
Good. That seemed very improvised. You've never said that before, have you?
No, I've never said that.
Oh, really?
No, I swear to you. That just came flying right out of my mouth.
Let's not fight. I'm not going to get defensive.
I'm not fighting with you.
No, I know you're not, because you just want to hurt me and I don't have any resistance whatsoever. You just want to...
Why is this hammer sitting right
for
here?
For you to hit yourself in the fucking head with? But okay, wait. I want to know more about other places. I'm learning things.
Now, where I've been to
Japan, though, was great.
Tokyo is amazing. Yeah,
I've
that's
never
a
been
beautiful
there.
City. Well, the infrastructure is crazy because all the freeways, I guess that's the right term for them. All the big freeways they're kind of built on top of each other. So you're basically like, it's like a video game because you're 40 stories up in between all these skyscrapers on a highway.
Really? In a car?
Yeah, in a car.
Holy
shit. They have like 3 levels of highways and they all kind of intersect and cross over. And so you're going and they have like a little bit, there's a bay there.
Yeah.
And you know, there's water obviously, but they have a big port. So you're like, I mean, you feel like you're driving in, you know, whatever.
The air.
Yes. It's crazy. You feel like the Jetsons a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything's really organized. There's no crime. Huh. Everything's clean. Their education rate is like 99%.
Wow.
And they have like a 3% high school dropout rate. I mean, 99% literacy rate, I should
say.
Well,
it's like a shame-driven ambition, isn't it? Like if you drop out, then you're supposed to just go away somewhere and kill yourself.
I think that's worse in China, but yeah. Tokyo is a pretty cool city.
Did you go to China?
No, I've been to China, but not for the show. I went to China just with a bunch of friends. We went to Shanghai.
Oh, yeah. I was in Beijing, pretty heavy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pollution.
Can't breathe. Yeah. Shanghai's fun though, right?
It was fun. We were there like on a stopover. We were going to like shark diving. We went scuba diving in French Polynesia, a big group of friends of mine. And I went to, and so it was kind of like on our way there. We're like, okay, where do we go?
You went shark diving?
Yeah, that was
so
great.
When you say a big group of friends, is this sort of like you call all the friends you grew up with and say, guess what? I chartered a plane. We're going somewhere.
No, I say, guess what? I chartered a boat. We're going somewhere.
A boat?
Yeah, like a yacht.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a sail yacht.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the middle of the nowhere. And we all went scuba diving. We all got certified. Some were.
Yeah.
And we went diving with sharks every day for like 2 hours.
It's great.
It was fucking fun. I mean, it's scary as shit. And I don't get scared a lot.
Yeah.
Like I'm used to being fearful and then I just like power through it because I'm geared to understand that nerves are good.
Yeah.
Like I work well on nerves, but I was like almost hyperventilating under the water because it's fucking scary.
Where's the footage of you hyperventilating? Where's that
show? We don't
show?
Have any because I had some shark. No, we don't have that.
Were you in a cage or?
No, these are sharks that don't bother you. You go down with master divers and they come on your boat every morning and then they take you out in group. Yeah. There were 10 of us on the boat and 9 of my friends had one diver with them and I had the other one because I was like, shit, I need somebody to fucking hold my hand.
And it worked out.
Yeah, the guy was like, you know, I mean, he really had to babysit me because you panic and you can't go right up when you're scuba diving because you have to equalize. So if you freak out,
you could get the bends.
Yes. So you got to sit there and like breathe in, breathe out. Your mask can get foggy. Your mouthpiece can come out. You know, breathing water.
Yeah.
You got to really have your shit together. And I'm not good with anything with, you know, buttons, manual, like adjusting. Yeah. So I just was like, listen, buddy, you fucking keep your eyes on me.
Yeah.
I can't be responsible for anything that happens to me under this water. You fucking take care of me. It's like a baby, like an adult underwater babysitter.
Do you keep in touch with that guy? It sounds like you had a pretty deep relationship.
But once, when he did save me, I was like, I'm gonna fuck this guy. Like
he saved you?
Yeah, he saved me because I was freaking out and I couldn't clear my mask and I started like getting a little so embarrassing.
It's fucking horrible.
I really
man.
Lost my cool.
Yeah.
And he came and he just like shoved my eye mask right onto my face.
Yeah.
And was like, stop.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I'm like, immediately when that happens, when you're a girl, you want to have sex with that person. You're like, oh my God, you're my doctor. You just saved my life. Thank you.
So did you fuck him underwater?
No, because once we got up and he took his mask off, I was like, oh fuck, I'm not fucking that guy.
Give him a few bucks?
No, he was not cute at all.
Did you take care of him somehow?
No. Oh, yeah, I gave him money. Of course, I give everybody money. I mean, that's the only thing I have to offer is money. It's terrible.
Did you tell him I was going to fuck you, but
no. No, he barely spoke English, so it was good. Because he like, you know, he was gesticulating to me under the water, like, do you want to go up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're freaking out. And I just said, no, I want to stay because I have to get my, like, I wanted to just figure it out. I'm like, I can't.
Right.
Pussy out. I'll never forgive myself. And so I said no. And so he was holding me, like looking at me, and I'm just like, and you have this big mask over your face, because so I couldn't really see what he looked like.
Yeah.
And then we were basically, once I was able to calm down, we were basically swimming underwater holding hands. And my friends were looking at me like, oh my God. Of course they're like, oh, she's gonna fuck this guy. But I did not, actually.
But they didn't know what really happened, did they?
Well, they all know what happened, of
course. After the fact, but they didn't see you losing your shit.
Yeah, they did. They kind of cleared out. They're like, oh no.
Oh no.
Because out of all of my friends, nobody thought I would have an issue with, you know, you get certified in Catalina. Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, I'm a huge pussy. Huge pussy.
But no, I understand that ideology where you're just sort of, if you're afraid, you just fucking throw yourself in and get out.
Yeah.
You know, push through it.
Right.
It's the only way you learn. It's the only way you can deliver the goods.
Because when you back down, you feel
awful. You have no idea. Yeah, you're ashamed of yourself and then you just beat the shit out of yourself, which is not as interesting as kind of moving through it.
Like I remember when I first started doing stand up and I would get really scared before I would go on.
Yeah.
There were a couple times where I would just leave. I would be like, fuck it. This is an open mic. No one's going to, I can leave and
just
not
between
do
me and me.
Yeah. I just didn't fucking do it. And I felt so gross.
Yeah.
When I didn't do it.
Yeah. Because you just gave up.
Yeah.
You pussed out.
Yeah.
And you're not a pussy. You have dogs, right? You're a dog lady, right? Big dogs.
Yeah. That's all right. Real women have dogs.
Okay. Sure. That's fine. It's a quotable. Is that on a card of some kind?
No, I just made that up too.
Wow, you're a fucking genius.
Like lightning.
So where? Okay, tell me a couple more places where you went on the show. We got Russia. We got
Russia. I went to Florida.
Japan.
Well, for
Florida.
The show.
Wow, that's adventurous.
Well, it was actually. Florida is like a different fucking country.
I know. My mother lives there. It's heavy.
Oh, where?
In Hollywood.
Oh God! All of Florida is just like
dicey.
Right? What happened? Is going on? They have such a nice climate. I don't understand why they can't.
I think it's the last stop for a lot of people for one reason or another.
It is, exactly.
Either they can't get out or that's the last stop.
Yeah, and I'm from New Jersey, so I'm like,
me
listen,
too.
I know about. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Well, my family, my mother's from Pompton Lakes. My father's from Jersey City. Mm-hmm. I didn't spend a lot of time there, but, you know, Morris County.
Morris County, exactly. Yeah. I don't miss New Jersey ever.
It's a lot of New Jersey and Florida.
That's exactly right. That's what I was saying. That's why I brought it up. A lot of New Jerseys, yes.
Yeah, they're all down there eventually.
It's interesting the way people migrate.
Yeah, especially Jews. They're just like, it never stops.
Why
they're just
people...
like Florida. That's where we're going. That's the big payoff. Florida.
Yeah. I know. That's what you have to look forward to your whole life is getting there.
Yeah, moving to getting a condo.
It's like a jumping off point, not an end
Lauderdale.
Point. Yeah, Fort Lauderdale. Well, with stand-up, you know, you have to perform in all those.
I won't go.
There's more cities in Florida than like New Jersey, you know. Like you just said, Pompton Lakes. I've never heard of that.
And Wayne. You heard of Wayne?
Wayne, yeah,
it's right by there.
But New Jersey's such a small state. There are so many cities I've never heard of in New Jersey. Everyone's gone.
Yeah,
you know, everyone
right.
you meet is from New Jersey.
Right.
I never meet anybody that's from, you know.
Florida?
Yeah, actually, I don't. I dated a guy from Florida, but... Like New Jersey, there are a lot of cities in Florida, and just when you think you've been to them all, another one pops up.
Yeah. I don't perform down there. I don't know what's down there. I don't understand it.
Where do you like to perform?
All the regular cities, you know? I mean, I like to go, like, my favorite, you know, Denver's good. That comedy club's good. I like going to Seattle, Portland, San Francisco. I just went
I
to
love
Kansas
Seattle,
City.
Yeah.
Iowa City was good.
I like Minneapolis,
Lincoln,
too.
I went to Minneapolis is great.
Austin, Dallas.
Yeah, Madison, Wisconsin's good. Dallas, I did okay in Dallas.
I remember Houston I went to right. Madison once, and I was like, I called my friend who was from Wisconsin, and I was like, I was looking at the room service menu, and I called her and said,
what are curds?
What the fuck is a cheese curd?
Yeah.
And she said, it's fried,
yeah,
like squares of balls of cheese.
Yeah.
And then I ordered like 3 dozen.
Of course.
That place is so sick. I mean, who thought of that?
People in Wisconsin. It's
what
a lot
is that
of cheese
noise
there.
That you're making? What are you doing?
It's just my shoe on the chair. I'm sorry. You okay? Don't freak out.
Keep your feet where I can see them.
Okay, Chelsea. Whatever you want, Chelsea. So, all right. So what about, are you producing television other than your show?
No. I'm doing my show only. That's all I'm doing right now.
Okay.
I'm doing my show.
Yeah.
Not producing other shows.
And you're shooting it where? Here?
Sony. Yeah.
Yeah. Over, where's that at?
In Culver City, it's the best lot ever.
Yeah?
Oh, God, yeah. It's like the Truman Show. People are picnicking. There's barbecues. They have happy hour on Thursday night. So
really?
You can, like, they have, like...
It's a whole city?
Yeah, it's a whole little city, but it's all completely fraudulent, but it's very happy-making.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
in a really good mood when you're on the lot.
Yeah.
Everybody is. And I'm so happy. I get there at, like, 7 a.m. They've got a big, huge gym for everybody who works out there.
Uh-huh.
They've got, like, there's a yogurt land.
Yeah.
I mean, people are happy. My dogs run around without leashes. I probably shouldn't say that they're supposed to be on leashes.
Yeah,
they don't need to be.
We'll scratch
leashes.
That.
Yeah, yeah. Please edit that out. I don't want to get in
trouble.
That's
the big problem. Yeah, that's what you're worried about?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
dogs?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a new Chelsea.
Do you ever walk your cats on a leash?
Get the fuck out of here. You're about done talking to you. No, my cats. You want to hear about heroism? Do you want to hear about powerful animals? I got a cat that I can't touch living under my house. It's a black cat. It's wild. And it's deaf. Totally deaf. And that cat, Chelsea, is my hero. How does it live out here with coyotes and with all this other shit?
Because it's under the fucking house.
No, it goes out. I see it sometimes. But it's been around for years. That's a powerful animal.
Okay.
And also, it doesn't...
You know how fast cats are?
Yeah.
The cats aren't going to get eaten by a coyote. They're faster than coyotes.
You clearly have never owned a cat in Los Angeles.
I've owned a coyote.
Yeah, yeah. And what did it eat?
Not a cat.
Why?
You can't. A cat is so much faster than a coyote.
No, they corner them. There's packs of coyotes. They got a whole game they play.
In the wild, like Africa.
Exactly. Mm. Dogs. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying is that don't underestimate cats. And some of us aren't so fucking needy that we have to have a animal that just wants to be touched and loved. All right? I can live with cats who just don't give a fuck about me most of the time, but, you know, kind of divvy up their, you know, their affection like that. Because I'm
divvy. Is that what you call it?
I don't know what it. Their... I was looking for another word.
Right.
Dole it out. Occasionally.
Right. Well, good for you. You should give yourself a pat on the back.
I am because
it's very masculine to have two cats. By the way, because yeah. Is it one cat or do you count the cat that's under the house? Your cat. As
no,
well?
No. There's two in the house and there's one.
Oh
under
no!
The
there's
house
fucking
and...
three now.
Yeah.
Three cats.
That's right.
In Highland Park.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It is good for me.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Things are fucking obviously working out great for
they
you.
They are working out. These are choices I make, Chelsea. It sounds like your world's pretty large, and you're just you're just one disaster away from a house falling into the goddamn ocean in another country. I don't have to worry about that. Why don't you laugh out loud so people know you have a heart?
I can't. When I laugh really hard, it's silent. I'm trying to help your viewers.
My viewers?
No, I was
really
sorry.
You really have no perception of what we're doing here, do you?
Yeah, no, I don't, actually. I don't. You threw me off. When you're so impassioned about cats, it really just got my... I was starting to think of all the different men in my life.
None of them had cats.
No, not one. But I hooked up with this... I had this guy...
This is going to hurt me somehow. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
There was this guy in New York that I had hooked up with. We went out to dinner another night afterward, mm-hmm. and I went back to his apartment.
Yeah,
and he had a mid-sized poodle, like not one of those full poodles. It was
yeah.
I think they're called a micro poodle or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, the cat. I had already had sex with this guy, so I was planning on having sex with him again.
Uh-huh.
But the dog had his paws on his shoulder. This guy's shoulder, like they had some weird affectionate thing going on. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I looked over and the man had his eyes closed at the same time as the dog's mm-hmm. eyes were closed.
Mm-hmm. And that was a deal breaker.
I just thought, I can't fuck this guy.
See, I would so much rather be a cat guy than a fucking poodle guy. Like, it's like a dude with a chihuahua or a smaller dog. No.
That's not acceptable at
right.
all. Right. No, right. You're right about that. Listen, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything, actually. You're just super defensive about it.
Really? I
did call you a pussy a couple times.
Yeah.
But that would have happened whether you had a cat or not.
I know. It's just sort of the way you greet people. You know, it's nice. It's warm. It felt good to hear that from you. I understand. So what happened? So now you're just in it for how long? The show.
For 3 years. 90 episodes a year. 3 years.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I've got 9 under my belt. I've got 81 left to go.
Heavily employed.
No, I'm 9. Yeah. So yeah, heavily employed.
Yeah. And you're not doing anything else.
Well, we'll see. Once I get my wheels under me, who knows? I'll do stuff. But, you know, I'm really into doing something special here. I want to do something great.
It sounds like you are. And it sounds like you're doing something different for you. And it sounds like you're becoming a better person, which I think is a journey that you should really kind of like focus on the show.
Yeah.
Like for all those people that may not like you, maybe they don't know the real Chelsea. This
maybe.
Is your opportunity to say, hey, you know, fuck you. I'm opening my mind and my heart to the world.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Are you doing that though?
Yeah, of course I'm doing that. But that, I don't do that to make people like you. You can't try to make people
like you. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that, like, why not bring them into your, you know,
my vortex?
Your new vulnerability. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
see, maybe you should focus on that a little bit.
Maybe
you know,
maybe you should focus on my vulnerability.
I'm trying to, but I cannot fucking find it.
You can't focus. You can't
I can focus.
Focus. Well, maybe you should take your glasses off and take a better look.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. It's all blurry. And ill-defined. That's what your vulnerability is. It's very hard to
see.
That's
exactly right. Copy that over and out.
Well, I love seeing you. It's nice to talk to you. Are
Great.
We good? Do you feel confident with what we did here?
Not particularly.
What do you want to cover?
Nothing. I don't care about covering anything.
But why are you like that?
Well, I mean, what do you
are
mean?
Are you happy?
Are you happy?
Sometimes.
What are you, last time I talked to you, you said, this was a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm really bad with time frames. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you said you were chronically unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Did
I use those words?
No, I'm paraphrasing.
Oh.
But you said to me, you seem like you have a really happy life, like you're really into your life, and you said, you drew the comparison that you aren't always into your
I'm
life.
I'm better. No, I am happier.
Are
Definitely.
You medicated?
No. You?
No.
Seriously?
No, I mean, I drink. I don't take medication.
You drinking now?
Like today?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So, no, I'm not medicated. And I think that because of the success of like things and that like my life is like a lot of things kind of worked out, I'm a little happier.
Well, that's good.
I don't really know what to do with it.
Well, like, what would you want to, like, if you
well,
could
that's
ideally...
a, that's where I'm at. Like, what am I going to do? It sort of sounds like where you were at when you quit your show. Like, you have these opportunities to sort of do things that are fun and do them creatively. Like, I'm sort of thinking about that stuff. Like, I'm, like, really close to buying a house in Mallorca.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I know of one that's for sale.
Really?
Well, for your budget, yeah. It's on the other side of the island, though.
Is it a houseboat?
What do you think would make you... I could see you living on a houseboat, by the way. They have houseboats in Copenhagen. Have you been to Copenhagen, by the way?
Oh, you went to Copenhagen?
That's a good place for you. Yeah, I went there.
Ooh, I kind of like the idea of it. I want to go to Scandinavia in general.
Yeah, Copenhagen, Amsterdam, I recently went.
Uh-huh.
Both fun.
Yeah?
Biking, you can bike. Can you ride a bicycle?
Yes, I can.
Really?
Oh, what do you think I am? I'm athletic. Just because I have cats, I can't ride a bike. I can ride a bike. I can fuck pretty well. I do things that men do.
So do you think that you would be happier if you found somebody to share your life with? Like
a woman? I'm dating somebody and it's good.
That's good.
But
she,
no, I think it's...
Is she a comedian?
No, painter. But I think...
Painter?
Mm-hmm. Artist.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she does
like
houses.
A house painter.
Were you thinking like, how much does it cost? I have some work I need to do
No,
at my house?
I was just wondering if she knew the guy who paints my house.
No.
His name is Oscar.
I'll ask her.
Okay.
But she does, she's an abstract painter. She does,
oh, that's nice.
Very good.
That sounds perfect for you, right?
And I'm doing all right, yeah. But I still want to know what I would like to do for fun.
Well, what do you do for fun?
I play guitar, which I like. I go to theater lately. I've been seeing some theater in New York, like some plays.
Like what? Hamilton?
I did go see that, but I saw The Humans.
Oh, how was that?
Good. And I saw The Flick and I saw John. Because I interviewed Annie Baker and Stephen Karam. And,
wow.
And I did get to go see Hamilton, which I like. I don't fully admit that I like musicals, but I always cry.
You do.
Yeah, and even if it's not sad. I'm just overwhelmed with how much action is going on and people singing.
So are you... I know, it's a lot. Can
right?
you believe those fucking people do that every day?
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
Every day.
I don't understand how people campaign like this, like watching this election. I'm like, how did they get up every day and fucking do that?
I know, like, are they on some sort of special medical
like
supervision?
Like Hillary Clinton, how she doesn't fucking go off on people?
I don't know.
And lose her cool?
Or just get exhausted and sick and have
Bernie Sanders is like 74. He's not...
I know.
How can he show up every day?
Well, you do it.
Well, yeah, but I'm on a show. That's nothing. I can be an asshole. They can't be assholes.
Right.
They have to try and get people to vote for them.
Right. Well, maybe they believe. So, like, I think when you're driven by that, when you have that window of opportunity to fucking do it, you do it. But, yeah, he's got to be tired.
He must be exhausted.
Yeah, I'm figuring out things to do. I think I want to travel a little bit. I'm thinking about actually, like, maybe finding a place to live other than here for the exit strategy. But I don't know what I do. What, are you going to just sit? How
well,
do you,
no,
how
but
are
places
you sitting?
Are so cool. Like, well, I'm great because I drink, so I can sit anywhere and read
right,
a book. I
right.
like to read
What
and
was
drink.
The ayahuasca thing like?
That was great. Fun.
It was?
Have you ever done ayahuasca?
No,
you
no.
should do it.
I've been sober a long time.
I know,
but
you
don't,
know, people do it, sober people do it all the time. It's
yeah,
not like a drug.
All the time. They do it all the time. It's not like a drug. They do it weekly, you know? But
sober
no,
people,
no, I've heard it.
And a lot of people become sober after they do ayahuasca.
I know, I heard it's a
Those
real...
Those people are also pussies.
A brain cleaner. I got my hours in. I got my
yeah.
drug and drinking hours in.
So what do you like to do? Like Copenhagen seems to me, or Amsterdam seems like a place you would like to hang out.
To be honest with you, I like to hang out, listen to music, think, eat some things, dick around with this or that around the house. I don't have any big... But I would like to travel, and that sounds really exciting to me to watch your show, because I want to do that. The only thing that stops me from traveling is the actual travel. I like when I get to a place.
You don't like that plane ride?
I don't mind the plane ride, but there's a lot of dread in the organization of it.
Yeah.
Planning, like, yeah. You know, what are we going to do?
Right.
What side of the street do you drive on there? Do I need, you know, and it's just stupid, neurotic shit.
Yeah, you're neurotic. See,
a little
I'm not
bit.
Neurotic, so I just can plop off anywhere and I don't care. But I also pay people to do everything for me, so
right.
I don't really do anything myself.
Would you pay people to do things for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I have
maybe
enough
we can
people
work that.
That. Yeah, there's
just
a lot of
people
that
to
do stuff for me.
Have the plane pick me up?
I would be happy to. I share all of my people with everybody I know.
Really?
Yeah, of course. My friends use my assistants. Everybody does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not selfish, ever.
I don't think you are.
I would never be selfish.
I think that's the one thing that is counterintuitive. That's the one thing that makes you charming and endearing is that you seem to treat people very nicely. If you didn't do that, you'd be a fucking monster.
I know.
You do know that, right?
Well, I have a bad, you know, people think I'm much worse than I am.
I know. I was very impressed at your house when I saw the way you treated the people that work for you. And yeah, I think you had some drifter living there or something.
There's always somebody living at my house. Fucking loser. Here, brother, cousin. It's like, what?
Okay, so I'll work on that. I'll work on
that. So you're
going
to get a houseboat in Copenhagen. That's the plan that we left off on. I'll arrange it with somebody that works in my office.
Very good.
They'll be in contact with you.
Thank you, Chelsea.
And then
you'll shoot. I'll be on your show. I'll be the guy in the houseboat.
Oh, we'll have you come on the show. Sure. Yeah, you should come on the show.
Yeah, no, I'll come on.
All right, cool.
That'll be fun. And we can do this only more heightened and you'll be meaner to me.
Okay, we'll have you come on. That would be fun. I'd like you to come on.
All right, deal.
Are you passionate about the election?
No, I don't talk politics too much.
What do you talk about?
Whatever else you want.
All right.
All right. It's a deal. Thanks for coming by.
Okay.
Okay. Well, let's all relax now. Go to WTFpod.com for all your WTF Pod needs. Enjoy yourself. All right. Have a good weekend. Don't get sunstroke or drown or die any other way if you can avoid it. Okay. All right. No guitar today. Giving it a rest. Takes a lot out of me. All right. Boomer lives!